Good morning, Christ the King. I'm just going to say that. Thank you for being so humble in being able to forgive my foibles. So I do appreciate you guys today. I do want to welcome all the visitors and guests today. And I hope you feel at home here because this is what this is. This is a family and this is a home. We hope you hear and feel God's Holy Spirit that's here just blowing and across us, and that God's Spirit is just going to change our hearts today. Pastor Craig and his oldest daughter, Sonia, are driving back up from Disney World. Apparently, they had a great time as a father-daughter time down there at Disney World this last week. And so prayers for their safe arrival and safe return. But we're going to continue our series on missing pieces. And what are those pieces that are missing in our lives from our lives that God intends for us to live a whole, complete life? 4 weeks ago, we started this series with Michelle York talking about mercy and how when we don't have mercy, we don't have that care and appreciation for others. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Craig talked about love, and we're going to tie especially some of that part from love into today's message, of just not love that's like, oh, hey, I love you. It's that love that crosses boundaries, break down doors, that unending agape love for others. Then last week, he talked about real treasure. What's the treasure that you're storing up? Is it the earthly treasure or is it God's treasure? Now, before we kind of dive into today's missing piece, a little while ago, we used to have this spiritual gift survey, inventory, test, whatever you want to call it, on our website. And I want to encourage you to take a spiritual gift inventory, because they're really helpful to find out what your gift is. My number one gift is humility. I'm the most humble person you ever meet in your life. I could teach you about humility and how to serve and be humble. Obviously, today's missing piece is humility, because I just showed none of it. So today's missing piece is humility. It's sort of that old joke is you don't really know what humility is, but you know it when you see it. And I'm thinking, Pastor Craig, you're just putting me on the spot. How can you write a good sermon about humility and think it's any good? Because if you think it's any good, you're probably not being the most humble person. And so I think he's laughing as he's driving back up. But, it's an amazing subject when you think about what humility is, because what Pastor Craig talked about a couple weeks ago with love really ties into humility. Because you can't love and not be humble. You can't be humble and really not love. And so I want to set out sort of the definition that we're going to use, I'm going to use, and I think that's biblical, for humility. Humility is really what you want better for the other person than you want for yourself. It's not thinking, being humble doesn't mean thinking that you're lower than the snake slum that's on the ground here. It's not thinking that you're a worse person, but it's not thinking that you're a better person. Being humble means I want better for you than I want for myself. You know, we model it after what Jesus did, and we'll get into that here in a little while. But we've all struggled with humility. We all struggled with that hubris that we have, thinking, you know, we're all that. I mean, years ago, you know, even as a pastor, you know, I left this church and I got a call to Arizona, and I thought I was just, you know, the greatest youth pastor on the planet. I'm coming to this mega church down in Arizona thinking I'm going to turn this youth group around. I'm going to do this. I'm with all these youth involved. We're going to do these amazing things. I can turn this church around. I'm going to do it. And all those statements begin with I. My humility was not very high. It was very low. Because we think that oftentimes it's all about us, that we're going to do something. It took 9 months for people to come into my lives and sort of slap me around a little bit and of crashing and burning in that place to realize it's about God's Holy Spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit that's working through us. It's not about I. Because even though I said I wanted more and cared more and loved others more than myself, so I wasn't really acting like it. So sometimes we get it all mixed up. But the premise of today's message is really that humility makes the world go round. Humility makes the world go round. Now, we all could think of times, well, that person wasn't that humble. That person wasn't that humble. So what does humility look like? To me, humility, like I said, if you want better for others and you want for yourself, it's not thinking less of yourself or thinking you're scum. It's thinking, I want better for others and myself. When I think of humility, I think of like Caitlin Wisnett. Caitlin Wisnett is one of our 17-year-olds who basically runs the Sunday school elementary school program. She does it because she loves Jesus and loves kids for no other reason than that. She's certainly not seeking any glory out of it, and she's probably embarrassed that I'm saying this right now. But she does it because she loves people. And that's why she does it. She doesn't do it out of recognition or anything else. Or I think of like Judy and Doug Leatherman, who for about 10 years organized and ran King's Closet. They did it not because they were looking for rewards or anything like this. They were doing it because there are people in this community who couldn't afford clothes. And so they'd spend weeks sorting clothes with their team and leading it and then hosting twice a year these wonderful clothing giveaways. Not again because they're looking for glory, and they're probably a little upset that I'm even mentioning their names. They're doing it because they wanted to glorify God and provide a service for people. Another example of humility is all the youth leaders that help out in the youth ministry that we have here. You know, we ask these adult volunteers to come every Sunday nights for 2 to 3 hours and pour their lives out in these students. But just not on those Sunday nights. They get calls, they get text messages, they go out for people for coffee, they mentor these students. And these are amazing men and women of God who give of themselves so that these students could grow deeper in who Jesus Christ is. You know, when I look at humility, I look at these type of people. We've had youth up here who preach the word out to this congregation, who are in the band, who, like I said, run Sunday school programs, who do all these amazing things around here. It's because these adults are pouring into their lives. When I see humility, that's what I see. I also see the negative sides of humility sometimes too. Like, for example, I think most of us don't go out thinking, oh, I'm better than everyone else. But how often have we done something in our lives where it goes from, yeah, I'm doing this to help people, to, wow, this is really good. I like this. I like this a lot. I'm doing these things, and I'm helping people. I'm feeding the homeless. I'm up here up front. And all those statements become about I. How many times do our good intentions become about us? When it becomes about us, it crosses that line to sin. But the very definition of sin is it's about us. When we look in the mirror, when we serve, when we help, when we think we're humble, who do we see? Whose reflection do we see? Do we see Jesus' reflection or do we see our own reflection? Humility oftentimes moves from, I believe lack of humility means we move away from God and love of others towards ourselves. We move away from the love of God and others towards ourselves. Our life becomes the center. Our wants, our desires, our car, our stuff, you know, our shopping, our whatever you want to call it. Because it becomes about us. When we look at what love does and how it ties with humility. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Craig, like I mentioned, talked about how love crosses boundaries. That's really what humility does, is crosses boundaries. Because you can't be humble if you don't love others more than yourselves. So what does humility look like? It means that you love Jesus, you love others, and you love learning and growing are the key to humility. Loving Jesus, loving others, and loving learning and growing. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the sense of you always have to think, you know, everything else is worse off or you're worse off. Because, you know, like, for example, I've been involved in youth ministry for a long time, and sports is a big part of it. And I love sports teams. I could stand up here and preach about the best sports team ever in the history of existence, the Los Angeles Angels in baseball. There's a lack of humility, I know, right there. But we all have that hubris when it comes to, like, sports teams. I am the best. You know, Olympic High School has the best football team. You know, all those types of things. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we start believing our own hype about things, think about some of the sports stars and musicians you know, oh, we're the best, we're the best. But then when you start believing that own hype, that's what the world says. We believe our own hype. I'm not talking about rooting for your team or, you know, going after these things. I'm talking about what it means to believe your own hype. That's the lack of humility. I think even we've become jaded about things too. We don't believe people can be humble. Oftentimes we often think, well, what's in it for them? Why are they so nice? Why do they do these things? Where have we gotten a society where we think when people give up some aspect of their life to do something for someone else, there has to be something in it for them? Talk about being jaded. So in Matthew 20, 25 through 28, what's happened here, just before this scene that we're going to read here, is James and John, disciples, followers of Jesus, have come to him and said, we want to sit at your right hand and your left hand and rule with you. And so Jesus calls all his disciples together and he says this. But when Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Think of our modern politicians of any party, and you could imagine what that's like. Number 26, verse 26. But among you, it will be different. So he's saying, if you're going to follow me, your life will have to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Ooh. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Wow. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. I believe that he's just not talking about leaders in the church. I believe Jesus is saying, whoever wants to be a leader on the sports field, in school, in your business, whether you're a firefighter, police officer, whatever, he's saying to do that, to be a leader there, you have to be a servant. You have to be that slave. We've all had bosses, we've all had coaches or teachers or whatever, who's they think they're a leader and they become that dictator and they lead down. But those real leaders, those visionaries, those people who care about people, they lead up. They put themselves last. To be a slave. This passage, I believe, talks about when you have a lack of humility, you lack love. You lack opportunities to grow. I believe when you lack humility, you lose in relationships because you're always more worried about yourself than you are about other people. We live in fear when we lack humility. But it's fear of loss, fear of our time, fear of our treasures. But humility, when we're willing to say, I love other people more than I love myself, humility will make the world go round. But why should I care? Why should I care? Because I believe when we lack humility, it destroys us. Because it becomes about us. It becomes about my needs and my desires and what I want. I want my stuff. I'm not going to share my time. I'm not going to share my treasure. I'm not going to share my heart. God's kingdom becomes more and more broken as we lack humility. Think about this. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking God's kingdom to come here and change this world. This world will not change without a healthy dose of humility on our part. Think about all the organizations that help people. The government cannot feed everyone, clothe everyone, provide enough housing, and provide joy and happiness. But think about all the organizations where people have to give up a certain chunk of their life or fortune. You know, think about the Red Cross, you know, World Vision, Compassion International, mission organizations that provide, you know, relief in sex trafficking. We don't know their CEOs. We don't know the people who are Doctors Without Borders because they've given up a chunk of their life to make the world a better place. They've taken whatever they need and say, I love them more than I love myself, and I'm going to help someone else. They're not seeking glory. They're certainly not seeking money. But they're seeking God's kingdom here. Without humility, God's kingdom will not be fulfilled as he's intending it to be right now, right here. So what does it look like? What does an example from Jesus' life look like? In John 13, 1 through 17, Jesus gives us a great example. This is the Last Supper, the night that Jesus is betrayed. And he has his disciples, so the 12, plus probably several other people. And what he does is he takes off his outer cloak. He pours a basin of water. And he does what the slave of slaves of slave does in every household. 2,000 years ago, we didn't have the shoes that we have now, or even the sandals we have now. You had maybe some bare little leather thing, and you're walking around barefoot often in this dirt, dusty, disgusting place with the cracks in your feet and probably sores. And so when you came to a house, the job of the lowest slave in the house was to wash the feet of the guests. So Jesus takes off his garments and starts going around and washing every single person's feet in that room. He washes all his disciples' feet. And he gets to Peter. And Peter says, "No, Lord, don't do this." As Peter's going, you know, this is my rabbi, this is my teacher. I've called him the Christ. He's the chosen one, the Messiah. And he goes, "No, let me wash yours." And Jesus goes, "No, you will not be clean unless I do this. And wash all of me." And Jesus says, "No, this is enough. This is enough." So Jesus washes all their feet. Here's God incarnate. God come to us as Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And then the most important line is he says, what? "Go and do likewise." When was the last time you washed someone's feet? When was the last time you've stepped out and done something so radical in your life that makes people wonder, what is wrong with that person? Jesus, in this story, does a couple things. This is what it's calling for us to. He learned from God. He listened to God. He listened to God, his Father. We don't listen to God often enough. When he does, he calls us to be radical and step out of our comfort zone. He did what was unexpected. No one expected Jesus, the Messiah, to take off his robe and start washing people's feet, because that's what a slave does. He served his followers. He didn't lord it over them. He served his followers. He gave of himself. He gave everything ultimately for himself. But even that night, he gave of himself to be able to do this. The most important thing is he loved. He loved God so much he was listening to him. He loved God so much he was doing what was unexpected. He loved God so much he did it. Not that love that's just, "Hey, I love you, how's it going?" That love that reaches across boundaries and breaks down doors. That reckless love that chases after the one. So ultimately, humility is putting away our desires, putting away our expectations, taking ourself out of the equation. When we take ourselves out of the equation, we become more and more like who Jesus is calling us to be. We seek others' own good instead of just ours. In Matthew 16, 24 through 27, it says the following. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower," this is what we ask people to do, follow Jesus. That's what he says to his disciples, "Follow me. You must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" I want you to think about that last question there for a second. Is anything worth more than your soul? Your salvation, who you are. Is anything worth more than that? Is your pride worth more than that? Is your what you think your rights are worth more than that? Is your money, is your time, your treasure worth more than that? Really? When it comes down to this, what I believe these passages are asking are two questions. What do you want your life to look like? And what do you want the world to look like? Because these followers knew what Jesus was talking about when he said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross was, you know, thousands of people were crucified every year on crosses as a form of punishment and torture. And so here's Jesus saying, hey, you guys, if you come and follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to give something up. Maybe it's your life, maybe it's some time or talent, but you have to come and follow me. Because when you follow me, you're going to have this joy that's unending, this excitement in your life, because you're going to follow the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the great I am. And you will not have a better job, a better calling in all of your life. And he calls us to be humble in everything we do, whether you're a pastor, but also whether you're an athlete, whether you're a firefighter, whether you're a police officer, a veterinarian, a doctor. He calls us to do those things as if Jesus was doing them himself. That's that call on our life. Just think about it. What do you want your life to look like? Do you want to look in the mirror and always see yourself and it's all about you? Or do you want to look in that mirror and see the reflection of Jesus who brings you hope and healing and care? Do you want your life to be just full of things? What do you want the world to look like? What are you willing to give up so this world becomes more and more like God's kingdom until he comes again? What is your real heart and desire? Because that's what humility is talking about, is giving us something up so others may have. This is the power of Jesus that calls us to be humble in our lives. Think about it. What would you do to take this on? What would you do? How do you do it? So the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of all? And this is his reply. Matthew 18. Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, I have no illusions about little children. I've never had my own kids, but I've been around them long enough. Little kids could be, they could try your patience sometimes. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, what are the characteristics of little children? And what makes this really radical is that at the time, children were not valued. Children had short life expectancy. They couldn't farm. They couldn't do the chores around the house. They weren't really valuable to the people at the time. And so Jesus is saying, you have to be like this unvaluable object to be in the kingdom of God. You have to be like this. And he takes them and loves them. Yesterday, I went to go see a ballet concert for my two little twin nieces. And they're great, 8 years old, and they're so cute, and they're so amazing. And this is break your heart. But the thing is about these kids, this age, these children, is for their ballet teacher, they will learn and do anything because she just asks. They're willing to put themselves under her authority. They are willing to love exuberantly and get excited and to follow and to learn and do all these things. That's what Jesus in this passage is saying for us to do. He wants us to be so radical in the love for him that just like when these twin little girls like jump up in your arms and it breaks your heart, I mean, it melts your heart. That's what Jesus wants from us, to jump in his arms with exuberance, to learn with exuberance, have that excitement that these little children have, to be innocent, to learn, to grow. And so I look at this passage and I see how we can learn how to be humble, how to bring humility into our lives, but it's not easy. I mean, try writing a good sermon about humility. You're going to learn to be humble. But he says these four things, I think, in this passage and throughout the scripture we've read. Love. Who and what love? If you love yourself, your objects or your possessions more than anything else, you're going to struggle with humility. You're going to struggle with your life. We have to move beyond just the simple I love you, move to crossing boundaries, move to this radical idea of what love really is. Acknowledge where you need to grow. Very few people, I believe, are born leaders. But what Jesus is saying, we have to learn from, just like these little children have to learn, we have to learn. Where can we grow in leadership skills? Where can we learn to grow in doing something, serving, playing an instrument, in reaching out to others? Acknowledge you need to grow. Because being a servant, being humble, means I'm not completed yet. Number three was learn from Jesus. When was the last time you washed someone's feet? Literally. Maybe figuratively. When was the last time you went out and bought food for the homeless, the guy over at the Rivergate? When was the last time you did anything like this? But you know, the thing with Jesus is he did not make this a one-stop thing. He did not just go, okay, I'm washing people's feet, and then I'm moving on. He washed people's feet. He fed the homeless, healed the sick, freed the captives. That's what his call for us is. Because that leads into the fourth one, serve as Jesus did. We're called to love, acknowledge we need to grow, learn from Jesus, and serve as he did. He served continuously throughout his life. Humility, love, and service, they're all tied together. You can't have one without the other. What are you waiting for your heart to be transformed? Humility, as you can see, makes the world go around. It won't function without it. Otherwise, our hearts become hard and they end up dying. I believe that we live in fear of being humble and being living in humility. Because if we didn't live in fear, we would have this calling on our lives and this idea that I love others more than myself, so I want them to know who Jesus is. Our lack of humility is helping people to have that eternal separation from God. Our lack of humility means that I'm not willing to go to my neighbors or my schoolmates and say, hey, come here. How can I help you? How can I serve you? We live in these little bubbles. Lack of humility means that I don't care about those persons, whether they're going to go to heaven or have salvation or not. We live in fear of reaching across those boundaries. And why? Why are we afraid? But think about how the world would change. How would the world change for our families, our friends, our neighbors, if we broke through that sense of entitlement that we have, that hubris, and we reached out in humble gratitude and love to those people around from us. If we helped that neighbor move that couch, brought food over, how would that start changing people's hearts and lives? Think about the things that you care about. Maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's school reform. Maybe it's whatever it is. How would those issues in this world start changing if we humbled ourselves and took some of that on and did something with it? We pray for God's kingdom to come. Shouldn't we be doing something about it? And we're missing that. That's the missing piece that we have this week that we're talking about, a sense of entitlement. What would it take for you to wash someone's feet? That's going to be your charge today. If humility makes the world go round, what would it take for you to wash someone's feet? To go out today, as you go out to lunch or go home or watch basketball playoffs or whatever it is, what would it take for you to wash someone's feet? Not one time, not just buy that sandwich for the guy on the corner, but to live a life of humility, humble service. What would it take if you really looked at that idea of love? I'm going to love that other people and those other things more than I love myself. What if you took that acknowledgement that I need to grow? What if you realized I need to learn from Jesus? What if you realized I need to serve as Jesus did? This world would change. this world would change. People would come together. People would serve each other. We go out from here in a little while. That's what I want you guys to think about over lunch. How can you be more humble? Where can you serve? Where can you reach out? Maybe it's in the youth ministry of giving up yourselves and your time or talent. Maybe it's with the King's Closet after Judy and Doug have stepped down from that. Maybe it's, you know, helping with your public school in your area. Where can you learn to be more humble, to reach out to those who are less fortunate, to love others? Because humility, humbleness, really does make the world go around. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the breakthroughs that you make in people's lives, Lord. Break our hard hearts. Because that's what it is. It's those hearts that we have of stone sometimes, Lord. That sense of it's about me and it's about my stuff and my possessions. Lord, I ask you to just reach down right now and break mine and break this room's, Lord. Break our hearts of stone. Become as slaves, to be able to go out and wash those people's feet, to take up our cross, to become like a child, to love and to learn from you and to go and serve. Ask your blessing now, Lord. And all God's children said, amen.